Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast of Who's Here in the Hamptons. I'm Dan Rettiner, your host, broadcasting from my home in the Hamptons, where I have lived for over 55 years. I've written a dozen books about this glorious place, and I've seen it grow through the years from small tourist towns, quaint fishing villages, and a summer playground for high society, to what it is today, a world-class resort for celebrities, artists, musicians, authors, and billionaires. In my podcast, I will bring you interviews with not only these people, but also prominent local people who have helped shape the Hamptons. Welcome to Dan's Talks. My guest today is Nancy Atlas, singer and band group leader, and all-around amazing person who's been singing almost all her adult life and is in these parts for having done so in various clubs and things. I was reading a number of things written that you've interviewed about. One was a gig you did at Stephen Talk House where a woman came up and took off all her clothes.
You want to dive right in, don't you, Dan? We're going to go. Yes, that is a very, very funny memory. What made that particularly hilarious is that it was right in front of my lead guitar player, Johnny Blood, who has played with me for 30 years. And we were all aghast at the break, like, did you see that? And he was so deeply into the music that he never noticed the young lady swinging in all her naked bliss in front of him. She was carried out above the crowd, might I ask. That was that's a memorable image as well.
How long ago was that?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say that's got to be a while ago. I'm going to say, 20 years.
You can't forget that, no.
No. She's stayed with us forever. It's the gift that keeps giving, that one.
I read that your first trip out here, you have no memory whatsoever of because you were 6 months old. Your dad was a fisherman who worked.
Yes.
He soon bought one of the Lazy Point fishermen's cottages. And then you grew old enough to realize where you were. Is that what happened?
Yeah, well, actually, it's probably before that because in the box of too much information, supposedly I was conceived at Heather Hills. And yet I am still not local. I don't know what to do. And my parents bought a house in Lazy Point when I was seven. And so I subsequently spent every single summer of my entire life out in Lazy Point. My father was an avid fisherman. He passed away this April, but it was his passion. He was a Grumman, worked at Grumman for 35 years. And my mother as well, always loved it out here. And so they kind of got that golden era of before the street in Lazy Point was not paved. It was a dirt road for many, many years.
It was originally built by the Newfoundland, I think, was it Newfoundland or Nova Scotia fishermen who came out to take advantage of the railroad that would get fish into the city. And also, I think it was used by the Portuguese workers who worked in the fish factories.
The fish factory, yeah. Which, interestingly enough, if anybody ever wants to take a beautiful nature walk, there's now a stunning trail out off of what I call Cranberry Hole Road, but I believe has been renamed to Lazy Point Road, past the fish factory. And at the end of the walk, you can actually see the remnants of some of those original houses that you're speaking of.
These were, I guess you'd call them factories, where fish were brought in and they had furnaces going with heat to huge pots to melt the small fishes down into what would ultimately become glue, as I was told.
I heard that they used the lobster for chum, too. Did you hear that? That lobster were so prevalent at that area that they would be using it for chum. I think that a few fish stores need to get back to that pricing point. But anyway,
those factories, one of them anyway, lasted until about 1955, which is when I got out here, and you could go down into Napake. And at that time, there were loads of billboards on Napake.
Really?
Yes, advertising restaurants and fishermen and Viking fleet and everything else.
And
wow. The look of fish. When the wind blew in the wrong direction, you could smell those factories a mile away.
I grew up exploring them. Like, I would grow up walking down the beach, and I actually almost, I really almost died once because I fell in a hole, a very deep hole, but I was with my brother, and he was able to, with some rope that he found, I was able to climb out of it. But yeah, I'm very familiar from a very young age, because back in those days, we didn't even have a TV. I mean, TVs existed, but my parents were very, they were coming out to, you know, really lose the stress of the work week. It was very, very common that I would be in the back of a car at 5:01, kind of going down the highway to meet my father. He would work at the Calverton office. So my mom would take the kids. I grew up in Comac. And by 7 o'clock, we were in our little house there. There was no TV, and we would be pinned up against the door if a car even came down the road, because we're like, oh my goodness, other people. I mean, it sounds crazy, but it's true.
Many houses for the most part at that time still.
It's really changing now, though. It's becoming so gentrified down there. And, you know, I have a house on that block that my husband and I bought. And man, you have to be careful that your kid doesn't get killed by a FedEx driver on a daily basis now. So it's, for as beautiful as Napique still is, it is definitely changed quite a bit.
Now you got into being a singer, and you decided to make that your career. Were you always interested in that from the get-go?
I was writing songs that I can think of very early on. We had an old stand-up piano in our house, and I can mark it by the talent shows that were in the school. My first real experience playing an original song was in eighth grade, where I had a few girls singing backup harmonies and on a song I wrote. All through high school, I would play at the talent shows original music on a piano. I didn't play guitar until I was 21. That was in Comac. And then I studied abroad. I did my full college career overseas. But I picked up a guitar at the end of it, even though I'm a trained graphic artist. And believe it or not, I went to college for graphic art, and I've studied painting for years, but I never felt like I could die on the stake for it. And so when I graduated, it was 91. There was the Gulf War. It was a time of recession.
Was this in Europe?
Yeah, this is in Europe. And I studied for 3 years in London. Well, 2.5 years in London and a year in Florence. So
very international.
Yeah. Well, we can blame it on my ego a bit, because I thought I was going to be a painter. So, you know, if you're going to be a real painter, you got to study the greats. I mean, oh boy. Anyway, so yeah. But I picked up a guitar, and I transferred my love of songwriting very, very short amount of time. And I thought, wow, I could really die for this. Like, it ignited a feeling in me that was unquestionable. With my art, I loved it, but I didn't have a sense of that purity. You must know what I'm speaking of when it comes to writing. You're not going to let anybody ever tell you what you can write and not write. Yeah, Dan?
Nope.
And so that's how I felt about singing and songwriting. It was not a non-negotiable. I didn't care what you thought of me or what you thought of my voice or my, I was going to do it. So I never looked back.
Well, I love listening to you. I remember when you, I guess the last year when you were out at Main Beach and you're belting out songs. When did you put together the group?
The group was formally created in 1996. So we're 28 years in. I still have Johnny Blood and Brett King. Those are the original members. Richard Rausch, retired from drumming. He's now a prolific artist. He's doing a lot of sculpture. You should check him out. Good Ground Gallery on Instagram. And Neil relocated to New Orleans, and he's been playing. He was my accordion player and keyboard player for 25 years. He's been in Europe as well. So now we have Greg McMullen on pedal steel, Joe D'Elia on keys, and Denny McDermott has been playing. The band, I have to say, humbly, is stronger than ever. They really, we have, it's a powerhouse. They're all lifers, professional musicians, and it's really a joy and an honor to come out of COVID. I was very close to kind of hanging up my chaps there for a bit, and then I got shown the way. Johnny and Joe were just like, "No, you can't stop." I was so broken after COVID. Really was it was difficult for a lot of musicians and artists. You had to start over, if that's what it felt like. So anyway,
Have you been on tour ever?
I have been on tour. In fact, I just got back from a tour in Wyoming with the fabulous Inda Eaton, who's one of my best friends. I was under her band, and it was just so beautiful. What a beautiful state Wyoming is, and the people could not have been more gracious. But yes, I've been on tour with my band as well. But I have three kids. It is a choice that I have made in my own life to focus on raising my kids. I can't, I could be on the road probably 200 days a year if I wanted to, but I really don't want to. And that's kind of why I've created the Bay Street Fireside Sessions, was a way of bringing the road to our town. So I'm actually going to be on my, gosh, I don't even know what year it is. This season's going to be a goodie. I've lined that up again, which you, my friend, were one of our first sponsors of Dan's Papers, was one of the first sponsors.
Tell people about this base, the Bay Street thing.
The Fireside Sessions was created in the fall of, I had my daughter Tallulah, and she came beautifully to this planet in August, which is a high working month for musicians out here in a tourist town. And so it was November or December, and I was just trying to figure out how to create some work. And I spoke to my friends. I spoke to Inda. I spoke to my husband, Thomas. I spoke to my friend, Telly. I was bouncing ideas. And then I realized I just have this incredible roll call of musicians that have sat in with us. And so what that series does is it spotlights world-class musicians in the dead of winter in Sag Harbor. This year it'll be starting January 18th, every Saturday, bar one, and runs till the 15th of February. And it's just been, I think we've sold out something like 53 shows at Bay Street, something like that. It's been crazy. It's been an incredible run.
Who plays with you on those in these fireside of
I have my band back up I'll be very on the table. It was the intention. I'm always big on intention, what a person's intention is, what an artist's intention is. And my intention was to create some work for my band, but also introduce this town to some incredible musicians that they may not have known. And so, for example, you have someone like Clark Gayton, who played for years next to Bruce Springsteen and Prince and Wynton Marsalis. He's on trombone. Nobody really knew his name coming into it, but after 4 or 5 years, his shows were highly sought after. There's Danny Keene, who's from Up Island, a phenomenal blues R&B singer, and Johnny Rausch, who's side saddled next to all of the greats. And then we've had genuinely famous people also kind of sit in, like Simon Kirk and Chad Smith, and a lot of people along the way. The Uptown Horns, Arno Hecht. So this year we have, I'm so excited that we have the amazing Sarah Tomek on drums. She's just probably one of the fiercest female live musicians out there. And she's going to start, she's the first show. on January 18th. I would say that is a must see for anybody that loves some rock and roll. That's going to be a hard hitting one.
What time are they? What time of Saturday?
They Saturday at 8 o'clock. At 8 o'clock.
One of the things I often ask at these chats is, what do you enjoy most or a lot of doing out here? And I came upon one answer to that question in a piece I read about you, which involved a summer fire at Sagaponack Beach. And thought you might want to talk a little bit about that, because it's you clearly have such a joy about being out here, as do I.
Well, you know, it was undeniable when I came to a point in my life where I had to choose after college where to go to. I knew immediately that I would come to the East End. And so when you're asking me what my favorite parts of the East End are, that fire in Sagaponack would have been put on by my husband, who was just a friend at the time. He used to do these full moon fires, which were unbelievable. Long before when the drummers and all everybody, he would do these monthly full moon fires that were really quite legendary. A lot of artists and landscapers. And it was just a whole mixture of the complete tapestry that makes up the East End. And so now these days, I definitely love, I am a fisherman's daughter, for sure. I went scalloping yesterday. Was the first day for Looking Box. I would just say I got 3 scallops. In case anybody's judging, I would like you to know that I am a huntress and that there are no scallops in my location. It's not because I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm very drawn to the water. I'm drawn to, I'm somebody myself that loves to be alone. I am very comfortable being alone. So I love to go out on a full moon or a new moon, low tide, and go clamming, fishing. I missed the striped bass run this year because I was in Wyoming. So I'm hoping that I'll still get on my little boat, the Flying Pig, before the bass are all gone. I have a 1971 16-foot, 7-inch whaler named the Flying Pig. So a little ode to Steinbeck there.
What's your outboard?
Oh, well, interesting that you should ask, because I have a brand new 70 Yamaha on the back. So it is truly the Flying Pig. It's no joke. Brand new.
Thank you for being on the podcast. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. And we'll talk again. And I'm going to be at your fireside. They can't light fires in the Bay Street Theater.
No, that's my job. That's my job. I am the fire. That is my job. I would say for you, check out February 15th. That would be the one that I would guess for you, not the 18th, because the 18th might be a little too loud. It's going to get, not that you're not capable of it, but the February 15th is going to be Johnny Rosch. And that'll be the day after Valentine's Day. Maybe bring, you know, that beautiful wife of yours and get, he's an unbelievable talent, both with singing and keys. And that's going to be a great show.
Okay. Thank you. Is it still all rock and roll?
It's still all rock and roll, baby. Don't worry. I always get there one way or the other. Okay. I'm going to make you sweat. Thank you, Dan. Be well. Okay. Take care.